This morning, we're joined here by Shahid Buttar of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, and we will be joined by Saraji Uribe of the National Day Labor Organizing Network. And so, first of all, we have Shahid right here in the studio. Welcome, Shahid, for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Andres.
Yeah, last week we had a program about secure communities, and we discussed how it's really putting a wedge between law enforcement and the local community. We talked about the terror in the local community, people being deported, and some of the organizing around that that's going locally. And then in my conversation with you and some of the material you brought forth, you really showed how this is much bigger than ICE and the Department of Homeland Security by the involvement of the FBI in particular, and how this really represents a much broader threat, not just to the civil rights of immigrants and their advocates, but also of the broader community through this massive data collection and surveillance program. So, you know, for our listeners here at KPFA who are used to stories about this, it probably doesn't surprise a lot of folks, but we need to know the details. We need to know what is really going on, what's going to be happening, and what we should be doing about that. So maybe you can just jump in and give us some of the background on that.
Yeah, and this is actually, I should credit the National Day Laborers Organizing Network, the Center for Constitutional Rights, and an immigration law clinic at Cardozo Law School in New York. And what we knew until a month ago is that where local jurisdictions like Santa Clara County, like San Francisco County, counties and cities around the country, the entire states of Illinois and Massachusetts, had tried to protect the civil rights of their residents by saying, we, the city of insert here, are not going to allow our police departments to share arrest information with ICE, which is what secure communities is. We knew until a month ago is that the FBI stepped in and said, gave ICE cover, that the FBI would take the data from the local police departments and turn it over. What these groups, Envlon and CCR and the law clinic, discovered was that the FBI actually helped engineer secure communities, and they found that there's much more coming. It is the leading edge of a far more disturbing program that includes pervasive biometric data collection, not just for immigrants, but for all Americans.
And can you explain to people what biometric measurements are and how that's been used in other places? And then
absolutely. Mm-hmm. So biometrics can include everything from a fingerprint to your iris patterns, the pattern of veins on your hand, DNA is an example, any means to identify someone from their physical person. Mm-hmm. And so what you could think of, one way to think of this is the FBI is using secure communities as the leading edge of a biometric data collection program. And one way to think of that is a national ID system without using cards. They'll use our bodies instead of cards as a way to identify people. And what to me is the darkest part of this entire endeavor is that the FBI is basically using immigrants as political bait to convince the rest of the country to consent to this. Mm. And when you think about the people who are most opposed to national ID schemes, they also happen to be, and a lot of times, the people most opposed to immigration. And so this is basically the federal agencies doing a number on civil society, splitting people and dividing and conquering as, you know, power.
So all those right-wing folks, conservative folks who are afraid of government, afraid of big government, afraid of government intrusion in their lives, anti-tax kind of folks, the gun folks, they in fact will also become victim of this much broader data collection system and surveillance system.
That's right. They should be as concerned about secure communities as immigrant communities have been. And the last thing I'd say here is that the other implication of these findings, it's not just the fact that the FBI has more in store and that they're trying basically to do an end run around democracy by using immigrants to push a secret program, but it's also the fact that if we do want to stop secure communities and we want to protect the civil rights, particularly of undocumented Americans, there's no way to do it without taking on the FBI. And you know, the secure communities is not an ICE program. It's an ICE and an FBI program. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the mobilization that is chosen only part of that apparatus as a target unfortunately leaves some cards on the table. And there are reform efforts, I should mention, all across the Bay Area that aim essentially to create some tension there by proposing, for instance, in Berkeley to restrict the arrest data shared between the Berkeley Police Department and the FBI. to force the FBI to have some concerns here. And if there's an opportunity to pit the FBI against ICE, we might find a few things shifting.
So then that's something that all of us can take locally to our city councils, our boards of supervisors, to try to disrupt that flow of information.
That's right.
We have on the line joining us Saraji Uribe of the National Day Labor Organizing Network. Bienvenidos. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Can you tell me some of the work that you've been doing around organizing around secure communities and what you see coming down the line, particularly with these changes that have been proposed by the Obama administration and his new Gestapo tactics?
Well, there was really not that much information known to the public when we began this campaign about 2 years ago. So a big part of it was uncovering the truth, and that ended up being the name of this in this campaign. And what we did was file a federal FOIA lawsuit, but also combine that with very vibrant organizing on the ground. There's been a groundswell, really, of cities and now states asking to not participate in this program that we know makes us less safe.
So now that the Obama administration is taking away the option out kind of strategy that a lot of people have been pushing for, where do you see your next action being directed at?
Well, one thing that's important to note is that the federal government is standing on very unclear legal grounds here. It's very interesting that they continue to refuse to give us this legal memo that outlines their legal authority to force this program onto every state in the country. We've been litigating for this information. You would think that they would give this information, especially when they're announcing that it's now mandatory, but they haven't. So that is still in court, and I wouldn't be surprised if some of this ends up in a lawsuit. It seems to us that this is essentially an unfunded mandate. On the organizing side of things, we've seen in this last week that escalations around secure communities are at a new high. People have been walking out in Los Angeles during these sham hearings, right? And they've forced the program, and now they want our input. And in Chicago, undocumented youth were arrested. Undocumented youth were arrested again yesterday in Los Angeles. And here in Washington, D.C., where I am, we had over 200 people walk out of the hearing, and two ESCOM victims confront the director of secure communities who was sitting in the crowd.
Wow, that's pretty powerful. And Shahid Buttar, in fact, I believe you have some information about some upcoming hearings that are going on here in the Bay Area that people may be wanting to attend so they can share their own feelings with ICE and FBI and other folks who may be involved.
That's right. This Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Local time at Arise High School at 1330 East 12th Street, Suite 205 in Oakland. There'll be a forum on secure communities, and it's an opportunity to raise your voice. There's another event across the Bay in Menlo Park from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Mountain View Senior Center at 266 Escuela Avenue in Mountain View. And that forum is actually going to focus on a somewhat separate but very closely related set of issues, and that's the FBI's assault on other communities. One of the things that's really interesting about the FBI in particular and the work tying the FBI to secure communities is that the FBI is unfortunately up to its neck in civil rights violations. And this isn't new, right? Folks who've been around in the movement for a while will remember COINTELPRO, will remember the FBI spying on the civil rights movement, on the NAACP, on Martin Luther King. A lot of those abuses are back. Peace and justice activists and labor activists, immigrant rights activists in three different cities are currently being investigated for thought crimes at the same time as the FBI is viciously undermining Muslim communities by sending paid informants and agents provocateurs into mosques around the country. There are abuses of Patriot Act powers in the dragnet surveillance context, and the Bureau lies to courts, Congress, and the American people routinely. And so what we're really talking about here is a rogue agency run amok, abusing the rights of many different communities, all of which, incidentally, share an interest in reining it in. And you made the point earlier that there are ripe opportunities for anyone concerned about the civil rights in any of these different dimensions to approach your boards of supervisors and your county boards. And I would just strongly encourage people to do that, because the local check on federal abuses is one of the few ones that has a chance to operate. At the federal level, the judiciary has basically been written out of the equation. Congress has consented to executive aggrandizement over and over again. And so if there is any hope in the policy sphere through these issues, it's locally. And the last reason I just say that that's really opportune is for the same reason that Sarai's work and her colleagues at Enlon has been so powerful. You know, they're not merely doing this in court. This is not merely a policy process. This is a movement in which anyone can participate, and anyone should participate. And if people are inclined to get involved, I encourage them to reach out to Enlon, reach out to us at BORDC. Folks can find us at www.bordc, Bill of Rights Defense Committee.org.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Shahed Buttar. And then also, Sarahi Uribe, we only have a couple minutes left. You brought up the idea that because this is a federal, unfunded federal mandate on localities, and we've always heard that, you know, the immigration is the realm of the federal government, not localities. What do you think are the prospects of some lawsuits coming forward and the likelihood of those prevailing?
I think it's very possible that those lawsuits will come forward, but I also want to say, echo what Shahed mentioned, which is, you know, we know that this is not going to be won in the courts solely. It's been so important to have this growing movement, and I think an indicator of that was the administration's announcement last week. While we at Endelon don't believe that announcement really changes much, I think it is a clear indicator that our movement is growing and that the White House is beginning to flinch a bit. And we just need to keep on escalating. So we know this coming month there will continue to be protests. There will continue to be acts of noncompliance, especially as new jurisdictions are essentially forced into this insecure communities program. So I think the Bay Area has been at the front lines of opposing this, and hopefully we'll just continue to escalate in the coming weeks.
All right. Thank you very much. That was Sarahi Uribe of the National Day Labor Organizing Network, calling from Washington, D.C., and here in the studio, Shahed Buttar of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee. Thank you both for joining us this morning on this program.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you so much.